Jesus said, "You are witnesses of these things." In the name of the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The following is a true story. It happened a few years back when I was serving at another church, St. James in Long Branch. And it happened around this time of year, a couple of weeks after Easter. One of the parishioners in the church ran into somebody in the grocery store, and they said to her, "I saw the strangest thing a couple of weeks ago. It was a Saturday night. The priest was out on the front lawn and was barbecuing." And she looked out, and she said, "Well, huh? Well, it was the priest, I know, because, you know, he was wearing a long black outfit, you know, and was barbecuing on the front lawn." And she said, "Well, first of all, it couldn't have been the priest. Because the priest is not a he, the priest is a she. And that black thing, well, that's a cassock." And she was thinking about it, and she thought, "Oh, I know what it was. We used to start the new fire for the Easter Vigil out on the front lawn in a barbecue grill. And the young man who was tending it was the seminarian that was serving with us for, you know, a season. And he was also a firefighter. So he was tending the fire." Well, I had a laugh when she told me this, but she said, so she explained to the woman, you know, that no, it was the Easter Vigil, he was tending the new fire symbolizes salvation and hope. And she went through the whole thing with, you know, she said, you know, it's done at sundown, and, you know, the priest blessed the fire, and the paschal candle is lit from the fire, and all the congregation sitting in the church, it's all dark, and they all have candles, and as the candle is brought down, and this represents the light of Christ, and as it's brought down the aisle, it stops, and the light of Christ, thanks be to God, and everybody lights their candles off of it, and then the dark church begins to glow with this beautiful light. Then everybody sits and they listen to the liturgy of the word of all the old prophets and everything talking about Jesus coming into the world as the light of salvation and hope. And so she's explaining all this, and that the paschal candle sits here at the front of the church all during Easter season, and then it's brought and it's put in the back, and it comes out again when we have a baptism or a funeral. And it's just, you know, it's the representation of the mystery of salvation through the coming of Jesus Christ. Well, the one thing that made me, well, I was certainly glad that she understood everything that I taught her, she was able to communicate it to her. The woman turns to her after she gets done telling her all that, and she says, "Oh, that gave me goosebumps." And she says to her, "Well, you know what? Why don't you come to church someday and find out what those goosebumps were about? You know? Find out what they were about." I had to laugh, though. And the reason that I laughed was because the young seminarian who was out there had preached on Maundy Thursday, and he said he couldn't wait for Easter because he had given up meat for Lent. And 85% of his diet is meat. And so I started to think, I maybe shouldn't have trusted him out there. Put him in a hamburger. For all I knew, he was making a hamburger out there. But it also, that whole thing just spoke to me about how there is this hunger out there for the meat of the gospel. Jesus says to us this morning in the gospel, we are witnesses to this. We are meant to be out there, as that woman did, explaining to this person, what is it that we do? We take for granted so much about what happens here. But you know, this is a whole nother language. It's fearsome for some people. They don't understand it. They don't understand the ritual. They don't understand what we believe. They don't understand the symbolism. And they are all out there hungering for this. And how often do we meet people and we invite them in? I often tell people, you know, we call this Episcopal aerobics, the up, the down, the up, the down, you know. You know, just sit. If you're new, just sit. Don't even pick up a book. Don't even pick up the worship guide. Just sit. Just sit and let it envelop you. And it speaks to something deep within you. And you'll respond to it. But that woman's goosebumps are so representative of so much that is lacking out there in people's lives. We can work, we can work, we can work. We can get all the things in the world. We can accumulate money. We can have all the hobbies. We can have all sorts of things. But you always feel like there's something missing. And what's missing is Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to each and every one of us in a different way, but we know we have this hunger deep within us, wanting more. But money can't buy it. Occupations can't buy it. Relationships in the realm can't buy it. But the relationship with Jesus fills that void. So I think that was a powerful thing for that woman. I don't know if she ever came to church. I don't remember if she did. But I remember about the goosebumps and the barbecue grill. And you know, I'm trying to do a lot of teaching and explain to you what it is that we're doing, because I think a lot of times we don't even understand it. We come year after year and we don't get the symbolism, because we don't stop during the week and say, gee, I think I'll pick up the catechism and read that, you know, or maybe I'll pick up a liturgical text and I'll read that, and I'll figure out why she's doing that, or, you know, why they're singing that, or what that means. We don't do that. And I hope that the more that you know, the more you can enter into what this is, this mystery. And by mystery, it's not something that we can't comprehend. It's just sometimes there just aren't words for it. And the symbols, the fire, the candles, the music, all of that, the bread, the wine, all of that speaks to the mystery. And Jesus says to us, says to them, and says to us, you are witnesses of these things. You shouldn't be in this room cowering in fear. You shouldn't be behind closed doors. You shouldn't keep it in this building. Like that woman, she was in the grocery store. You know, I saw the priest barbecuing on the front lawn of the church. It was really weird. Yeah, you never know when you're going to end up in a conversation like that. That you have the opportunity to share what you know, what you've experienced, what has spoken to your heart, what has touched that place that money cannot buy, that relationship with God. And so don't think that what you have here, don't take it for granted, don't think of it lightly. What you have here is a precious gift, and you can't hide behind those red doors. And I will teach you as much as I can in appropriate ways that I can, so that you feel that deeper and you feel secure in at least offering something to somebody out there who may question you as to why the priest was eating on the front lawn. You know, you never know what kind of questions you're going to get. You never know. Now, we had a funeral here yesterday. Louise Stives had died. Lovely woman. And her two sons were here, Jeff and Doug. And Jeff said to me, I came out and I was going to light the altar candles. And he said to me, can I do that? I used to be an acolyte. And I said to him, sure you can. And he says, well, is there a right order? You know, is there a right order? What do I need to do? And I said, well, first of all, the paschal candles always lit first. It's always lit first. And you're looking at the altar. This is the gospel side, and this is the epistle side, but in this church it's a little different because we read over here. The gospel candle never shines alone. Okay, it never shines alone. So you light the epistle side first, and then the gospel side. And when you're putting them out, you put them out in the opposite direction. Because the light of Christ is the gospel, the word of God. See, I see you shaking your head. You never knew that. Now you know. Now you know. So there really is a order in which things are done and why they're done. And maybe it's picayune because they probably didn't have candles back then and they just used them for light. But over the years, they have developed an understanding as to what means what, and it gives it a deeper, interesting meaning to what it is that we're doing. It's not to be picayune. And so he thanked me and he lit them in the right order, but he didn't stay long enough to put them out in the right order. But it's always something, and there's always something to learn that takes you deeper. But the point of all of this is never take for granted what you have here in the gift of Jesus Christ, in the sacraments, in the symbolism, in the beauty of the liturgy. Share it. Invite people to come. And tell them they don't have to partake in the Episcopal aerobics. They can just sit and let it wash over them. Because sometimes they're yearning so deeply they don't even know what it is that they need. But I can guarantee you that God knows what it is that they need. And if you can bring them, bring them. And let God speak to their hearts. That's what you're called to do. Because you are witnesses of these things. And there's no escaping that. Because I know who you are.